First of all, we are excited about being here. We want to thank you. We want to thank you so much because you are our partners. You partner with us as we minister in the country of Chile. And we partner with you as well, the best as we can. Every Tuesday and every Saturday, we pray for you as a church. We pray for your pastor. We pray for the church. We pray for the outreaches as much as we can remember. So we try to partner with you because it's a team effort. And so we want to say thank you for your constant prayers on our behalf since we've been to Chile. We are greatly appreciated. We need your prayers. Thank you so much. And thank you for your generous support that makes it possible for us to serve. And again, we partner with you. We are Team Sharp. It's not the missionary and his wife. Anybody in the ministry knows it's a team effort. Pam and I have been partners for 40 years in marriage almost this year. But we're Team Sharp as we go out and we serve the Lord together. We were the first missionary sent from our church, Gray Road Baptist Church, on the south side of Indianapolis. And in a sense, today we're going to tell you a little bit about a grace story, about how God works in our lives. But each one of you has a story to tell. God started working in our lives. I was saved at a young age. We moved to Indianapolis, and that Gray Road, we started serving, like many of you are serving here in your church. We were newlywed, in a sense, and we were new people into a church, and they needed help in Awana, and they started asking us to help. You know, that was a great experience. Why? Because the kids learned God's word for candy bars. And I said, that wasn't fair, so I started learning God's word for candy bars. But you know, you hid God's word in your heart that you might not sin, and God started working in our lives. The following year, we were directors, and we started a college and career class. Our church just kept giving us opportunities to serve. Can I tell you something? Each one of you has a spiritual gift that you'd be using this church for God's glory. And no one has the gift of sitting, no matter how old you are. And I'm sure the pastor has a few jobs for you to do. But God worked in our lives at that church, and we did different outreaches. So today we're just going to tell you a little bit about what's going on. We are with the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, ABWE. We are serving God in the long country of Chile, 3,000 miles long, about 150 miles wide. At the longest, widest part. But you know, when we were here before, we were talking about Santiago, a city almost of 8 million people. That's where we were many years ago. And as you can see, when it rains like it is now in the wintertime, you get the beautiful snow on the mountain. It's really a beautiful city, except in the winter when there's no rain and the smog comes and it gets very dreary and it gets very cold and there's a lot of people and a lot of traffic, and I won't go any farther, but it gets complicated at times. It's a little bit bigger than this city here. So there's a lot of traffic there, but God started a work there in Santiago, and we were very excited to be a part of that. When we were here, we were telling you about a church. We started helping our third church plan, in a sense, and we started with a small group of people. We started with like 20 people, and we found a little house to move into, and the little living room was just perfect. You know, we were in there praising the Lord, and all of a sudden more people came, and we're going, oh no, what are we going to do? So you take down a wall, and you kind of make an L shape, and you fit more people in there. Personal space is not the issue in Chile, because we could put 2,000 in this building, let me tell you. And so now, you know, we got the back porch, we got it all fixed up, and there's like 80 people crammed in there praising God, and God's so good. But, you know, God's moving them out of that house now. That's a step of faith for them as well. So pray for our group. Here's a picture of, I think, our third anniversary. God was so good. From 20 people to 90 people. God is so good. See, souls saved. And you might say, John, what? And here's our back patio that's all fixed up. See those 80, 90 people in there? You just kind of sit wherever you can get. But God's been good. But, you know, God allowed us to share. Part of my responsibility was I was a co-pastor. And so part of my joy was to preach. One of my joy was seeing people saved and baptized, be a part of the church body, be members there. I wasn't really part of the kids' ministry, but I sure did love them. I was a kid magnet. I get them in trouble. But I just enjoyed our time with them, and we love mentoring. Women, mentor a young woman. Men, mentor a young man. Invest your lives. And we were doing this with our seminary students. A great time there. And this is one of my seminary classes. They asked me to teach a couple of classes there. So we're investing our lives in the young people, maybe to start new churches. Pam, with Jimena, I saw this young lady say what a joy it was, and also be a part of the ladies' ministry. Now, Pam's responsibility was to teach there, but also work with the children. That was her responsibility in many ways. So she dealt with the young children, and God blessed in that ministry. God is so good, allowing us just to share our lives with other people. So this is part of what we told you we were going to do last time we were here. And we can, in a sense, we checked that off our list. We're still praying for that church. We're still trying to mentor the pastor. We're still trying to encourage him the best we can. But God moved us up to Iquique. Remember those mountains with the snow? Do you see any snow there? We're in the desert, the driest desert in the world. But we're on the beach, so it's kind of pretty there. So you see the instead of snow, you see the sand dunes. So there's a lot of sand there. It looks pretty from afar, but a lot of the beaches are really kind of trashy. But you know what? It's an interesting place to work. And you know why we moved up there? Because some of our colleagues asked us. They said, I think I have a picture of them next. The Garcia family, and they have six kids. And the other family has eight. And you know, we could start a church with just these two families. But that's not the purpose. But you know, they asked us to pray about coming up to help them with two projects, to start a new church and help with a pregnancy center. So the conversation started like this. I asked them one day, is there traffic up there? And they said, there's no traffic. I said, well, I'm coming. They said, they don't go to bed until 2 o'clock in the morning. And I said, I'm staying. Because, you know, it's a late night town, you know, and I need my beauty sleep. But we went up there and we saw the town and we said, this is really kind of an ugly town. But we met the hearts of our missionary friends. We started talking with them and just hearing their passion for the people and the people in Iquique. And we said, we could go there. We could help them. Because there's some of where they need help at is our strength. So we, after a year of praying, we said, yes, God, we'll go. And you know, God, this is an adventure. God's always stretching us. Doesn't he stretch you somewhat? He stretches us and places us in different opportunities to serve him. So we're there now, and it's an exciting place. But let me tell you, we're still church planners. Our desire is to start new churches. There is one church there now from our mission, and they have a Chilean pastor at that church. He's been there just over a year, and he has a passion to start new churches just like we do. And with this pastor, he started a Bible Institute in the church. And I think I have a picture of Pastor Christian here. He's the one in the center, and Pedro on the other side. We were talking with him, and we're just kind of dreaming a little bit of having a vision. Lord, where do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? And this man here with this institute wants to train his people. Here's a Tuesday night or a Friday night, I can't remember what, but a lot of students, a lot of young people are studying God's word. And many of them want to be pastors or be used of God. So what we're thinking about, now you might not, if you look at Pam, you say, this couldn't be, but I'm going to be 60 in a couple days, you know. And so I'm thinking, Lord, if it's your will, can we start another church? But we're going to do a church planting movement. That sounds exciting, doesn't it? What that means is that my desire is to invest my life and our lives in some of these men here, maybe four or five. We want to invest in their lives. We want to be personally in their lives. We want to be able to instruct them, to teach them, to encourage them in their studies. We want to be able to give them opportunities to use their gifts for God's glory, like you in this church. Give them opportunities to start a Bible study and give them the equipment that they need, maybe to start a church. So here in the Lawrence area, maybe a Bible study could be down that way by Pawpaw. That sounds like an interesting town to me. But the other one could be in Lawrence. Another one could be here. And who knows? Maybe you could start three new churches in this area. Not trying to pull your best people away, but God is so good to start new churches. That's what we mean about a church planting movement. Investing our lives in other people so we can reproduce ourselves much quicker. That means one Sunday we're going to be at this church, one Sunday we're going to be at this church, one Sunday we're going to be at this church, and instead of one church, how about three or four? So pray with us about that. The second thing that we're doing, I'm going to have Pam talk about this.
Well, this is a very... Am I on? Okay. This is a very exciting part of our new ministry to us. We were actually asked to come and help start a prenatal and family counseling center. And this was a vision and dream of our colleague, Stephanie Garcia. And she knew that I had had experience as an interpreter, a medical interpreter in the United States, an OBGYN clinic for 11 years before going to the mission field. And during the time when we came back from Chile, I was doing that as well. And so she knew we had a lot of experience in church planting. So as John shared, the Lord has moved us to Iquique, Chile, and we are very excited about that. It was a scary move in a way. It's really far from the capital where the health care is good. And so the health care where we're at is not that great. So that's a prayer request that we would trust the Lord, that we wouldn't be fearful that, you know, if something happens, what will happen? We know God is everywhere we go, and He's sovereign, so we trust Him in that. Whenever I think of this past really year and a half, since we've been back on furlough, we came back into November, God gave me this verse, and it really sums up how we feel. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Psalm 126:3. And I'm telling you, that, like John, they mentioned earlier, but, you know, it's really true. God is on the move in many mighty ways. And we're holding on because so many things have just happened recently for this new ministry that we're just like, God, you're going to do some great things because He's got great plans for that. Why a pro-life ministry? You might ask that question. In Chile, legalized abortion is only one vote away. It is illegal in Chile right now to have an abortion, but they happen all the time. So it is very close to being legal there, and so even a greater need for this ministry. Actually, I'll back up just for a minute. If abortion is legalized in Chile, it would be for three reasons that a woman could have an abortion. It would be if her health was at risk, that it was an inviable fetus, or there was rape or incest. But we know, just like anywhere else, once it is legalized, it's just an open door for a woman to choose whether or not she wants to carry a child. So you can pray about that. It has not been voted on yet, but it is soon to come up at any time for a vote. According to the World Health Organization, every year in the world there are 40 to 50 million abortions. This corresponds to 125,000 abortions per day. And those are really pretty staggering statistics when you think about that. It's really very, very sad. Last year in Chile alone, there were 17,434 abortions. And just since we've been here, I don't know how many articles we have seen online from our city, where we live now, that women have been arrested for having an abortion. They have found the fetus in the trash or whatever, and they've been arrested just this week, just Friday. There was another one. And so there is a great need for us to have this center for women and families in crisis, because there's a great need there in that city. Proverbs 24:11-12 really explains our responsibility as believers about this issue. Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they have done? We have got to speak up and speak out for those who can't speak for themselves, the unborn. And so I know that your church, Pastor, is telling us that your church just helped with an offering for a pregnancy center right around here for an ultrasound machine, correct? So we know that you guys are aware of this, and you are, as Christian believers, reaching out, and that's great. We applaud you. Why a prenatal and family counseling center? Because it's not just a pregnancy center. It's a family counseling center where people can come in for counseling that need help. And we've had some men come through our doors as well. And when that happens, if one of the missionary men aren't there, we call them. Usually we call John, because the other two men, they have 6 children at home each right now, and they homeschool their children. And so if mom's at the center, then the dad's usually with the kids. So John comes in and helps with that. I want to just share with you, in the center, we really focus on post-abortion ministry and healing, because many women have had abortions, and that's something people don't talk about. I mean, There's people everywhere in the United States. There's women everywhere that have had an abortion. They are suffering silently alone because of the guilt and the shame, and they need healing. And so we're there for that, for these women that come through our doors. 31% of women who abort report physical complications. 10% of women that abort suffer immediate complications that could endanger their life. 65% greater risk of clinical depression after an abortion versus birth. And 65% of women that abort suffer symptoms of post-traumatic stress syndrome. Maternal death for various causes is 3.5 times greater after an abortion versus a birth. So there is such a great need for this ministry in these women's lives. And so that's a very exciting part of the center as well. Suicide among women who have had an abortion is 6 times greater than those who gave birth. And as you can see, these women are in great, great need and great crisis. Induced abortion increases the risk of miscarriage by 60%. These statistics are from the Elliott Institute. Okay, we have women, it's interesting. We opened the doors October 1st this past year, and we have had women from the age of 15 to 50 come through our doors so far. We started out slow, and when these women come in, I mean, a lot of them are coming in for a free pregnancy test that we offer. Pregnancy test in Chile to go and have one done cost about $20. And so a lot of these women are very poor. They're in crisis. Some of these women are prostitutes, perhaps. There's a lot of human trafficking there. And so they have a great need. So when it's free, a lot of times they'll come in for that because it is free. They have fear. And, you know, we always love to share God's word with these women. Every woman that comes through that door, even if she only comes once, meets with a counselor, and she hears the gospel. And we give her words of hope. And they almost always will say, I am so afraid, I don't know what to do. And we read verses to them like Isaiah 41:13, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. God loves them, and he wants to help them. They have denial. A lot of them are, there's no way. I can't be pregnant. They don't know what to do, and they are in denial. And, you know, the truth is what they need to set them free from the bondage that they're in. And God's word tells us that. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They have a lot of guilt. I remember counseling one Christian young lady that came in. She was in a Christian home, went to a good church, and she was doing a pregnancy test. And she said to me, I feel so guilty. I know I'm living in sin. And so, you know, we talked and we shared 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Also, there's lots of stress. Most of these women don't have a lot of resources, so they think there is no way I can afford to have a baby. And so we always ask them, what are your plans? What are your thoughts toward abortion? What are your thoughts about having this child? Because we want to know where they're at so we can minister to them. And we always tell them, God loves you. God's word has the answers for you. And we obviously present the gospel, but we share words of hope and truth with them through this time. We always want to let them know that just because you're pregnant or just because you had an abortion doesn't mean it's the end of your life or the end of your story. It's just the beginning with God. God can take anything and turn it into beauty. And so that is the hope we want to share with these women. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. What is Florece? Florece is the name of our center. In Spanish, if you know Spanish, florecer means to flourish or to bloom. And as John shared, we live in the driest desert in the world. And so, never rains there, by the way. You guys have had enough rain here. We've had enough rain in Indiana. We are glad to leave the rain. And so, we want to see God's word planted in the hearts of people so that their lives bloom for God's glory. That is how we came up with the name Florece. Florece is prenatal and family counseling center. It's nonprofit ministry whose goal is to provide biblical counseling and practical help to prevent abortions and provide hope for women and families in crisis. Florece also exists to strengthen marriages and families, offering biblical counseling and training through one-on-one Bible studies and educational workshops on marriage, families, and parenting. And actually, our coworkers, Pedro and Stephanie Garcia, they just finished a six-week workshop for in the neighborhood there on Monday evenings, and they got a few couples to come in, and so it was just a really neat opportunity. We want to continue to do that when we get back. John will be helping with that. That's something you can pray for. Floridese is a compassion ministry that defends the right to life, offers spiritual, emotional, physical, and practical support, sexual education based on Christian moral values, and offers their services completely free and confidential, respecting God's laws as well as Chilean laws. And I mentioned the sexual education. 2 weeks ago, one of our pastors from Santiago, who is an abortion survivor, his mother was pregnant with twins, and she had an abortion, and she did not realize she was pregnant with twins, and he survived. And he came to tell his story to young high schoolers. We were able to get into 4 public schools, and the gospel was shared. Information was given about Floridese, sexual purity. And so this is a wide open door for us to be able to continue to minister in this way in the community we're serving in. So we're super excited about that. A little scared, too. There's a lot of stuff coming up, you know, but when God calls you to do something, he always prepares you for it. So we're trusting him. This is a picture of the Floridese Center, the outside of the building. God provided this for us to rent last year in February. The end of February, we were able to rent this building. Had to revamp it all inside, restructure it for the center. The guy that owns the building is a Buddhist, and he was so happy that a religious organization was going to use his building. So he is very excited about our work there, and so we're very thankful for that. We are located downtown Iquique. Great location. Only God could have provided this. This is exactly what we were praying for as a team. We had no idea how we were going to afford it. Everything we saw was way too expensive, about $3,000 a month, and there was no way we could pay that. Jay rented us this building for $1,000 a month just because of who we were. So God is always providing, and we're very excited. Also, the building is right near a couple of universities and public schools. Apartment complex is right across the street, so we're in a great location. I want to just take you through a quick tour. This is when you come in the front door. This is the reception area. We had a missionary friend of ours, not with our mission, but was there in the area. A friend of ours, she painted the flowers on the wall. And the women come through the door, and they let us, you know why they're there. We have them fill out paperwork, and then they, let me go back here. I want to show you this is the meeting and training room that this was set up, I think, for the dedication service for pastors in December. We actually weren't there for that, unfortunately. But that was an exciting time. Now, when the women come in, I'll go back to that. A lot of them want a free pregnancy test. So what they do is we have a client restroom, which has been all decorated up too, and it's really cute. We had a door put in the wall there. You'll see that little white door in the wall. The women leave their urine sample in that door, and when she goes and waits in the waiting room, and a counselor comes out to get her. Two counselors. We like to go in by twos as counselors to protect ourselves, to protect the client. And we take her to a counseling room. But as they're doing that, one of the volunteers is working in that back room on the left, doing the pregnancy test to see if it's negative or positive. And she's taken the client's taken to the counseling room. We have two counseling rooms that are identical. They're adorable. We were able to put a wall in between two rooms. One room, I mean, and we made it two. Put new flooring in, painted, did flowers on the wall, and it's just a really beautiful place. And we're very thankful for what God's provided. This is the baby boutique. This was a very exciting part of the ministry, and I was able to head this up. And when we were here last year, we were here for a few months last year, and we had many churches, many friends give toward this. And we took back with us a 50-pound suitcase of onesies and sleepers and blankets. And you can get a lot of onesies and a lot of sleepers and a lot of blankets in a suitcase. So, oh my goodness, most of that we brought back. one part in the middle, there's really nice used clothes. So we have them all by size, all by girl or boy. And so these women that come in, some of them come in, and if they're pregnant, a lot of the women are wanting, I can't ever think of it in English, mothering classes, maternal classes, how to be a mom. And so they've really shown a lot of interest. So some of them come for that. We do them one-on-one. Right now we can, you know, but when we get more and more clients, we'll probably have to do them in classes or groups. But they come for that. They earn points. If they come for their appointment they set up to see us, they get a point. If they do their homework, they get a point. If they go to their doctor visit and they bring proof of it, they're pregnant, they bring a point. They win a point or two or whatever. They can redeem these points in the baby boutique. We just don't give the stuff away, but they have to earn it. It's a way to get them to come back. So it's really working out great. I just heard this week that we had some of the first girls go in and redeem their points. So I was excited about that. This is our volunteer staff. We're actually missing a few, two of our volunteers that we have new ones, so they aren't in this picture. But we have lost three. This is a very transient area where we live, and a lot of people come and go. And so three of our women we've lost already, our volunteers, but God has provided new ones. So we're very thankful for that. Florese, we came up with this beautiful verse to go with the center, Isaiah 35:1. The desert and the parched ground will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like a crocus. And that is exactly what we are seeing God do in the lives of the people who come through our doors at Florese.
May I say something first of all? We have been in different churches, and when we present, sometimes people come up to us and they say, you know, John, what Pam talked about is what happened to me. And can I remind you of 1 John 1:8? If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Can heal your heart, give you peace, give you joy. And I'm sure that you know people who have battled with this or have maybe gone that way, and you can be an instrument of grace to them as they try to put their lives together. We all have gone astray, right? The Bible says. But thank God for his grace, his goodness, and his peace. We want to share just a couple prayer requests to you. Oops, I'm sorry. I'm going to let Pam talk, I think, two more pictures, and I'm going to give some prayer requests.
I shared with the women that were there yesterday with me about Macarena, but I want to share, this is just an exciting story to me. Macarena is a young lady I met last year in July. She had just moved to our neighborhood in our apartment complex. She had just moved to the area. She didn't know anybody. She is very young. She is 27, I think, soon to be 28 maybe. And we met at the playground. I was there with some friends that have little kids. And so she, I could tell, was very lonely, was friendly. I could tell she wanted to meet me, and so I went over and spoke with her, and she said, oh, I'd love to get to know you better. And I said, well, I'll come and visit you next week. So I showed up with some chocolate chip cookies, and she was thrilled to see me. Her and her little daughter, Josefina, were there. Josefina is 5 now. And she had a lot of questions for me. She found out we were missionaries. She grew up as a Mormon. Very confused. I had left the Mormon church because she felt shame and guilt, and she told me I just felt dirty. She had gotten pregnant, and everybody looked down upon her. And so she asked me, she said, I've been investigating. She said, my daughter's really scared about death and dying and all that, and I have a lot of questions about that. And she said, have you ever heard of the term the plan of salvation? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I have, you know. And so I had been praying about it the whole week before I went to see her. Lord, what am I going to say to this girl? Give me an opening. That was the perfect opening. And she also asked me if I believed in eternal life. And I said, yes, I do. And I said, would you be interested in doing a Bible study with me? And she said, I would love to. I don't have a Bible, though. And I said, oh, don't worry about that. I have a Bible for you. And I have a book we're going to study. It's called The Story of Hope. And it's a redemptive story from Genesis all the way to Revelation about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And she was thrilled and excited. So we started the next week. She came to my apartment. She loved to get out of her apartment because she was by herself a lot. Her boyfriend worked a lot. He's not a believer, does not believe in God. Was perfectly fine with her studying the Bible with me. And she came, and it was a 22-week study. She came every week, never missed. And I was telling the girls yesterday, I thought about this, I've forgotten about it. She lives on the 21st floor of her apartment building, and we live on the 13th floor. Well, in her building that day, there was no electricity, and the generators didn't work. So the elevator didn't work. So that girl walked down 21 flights of stairs to get to my house because she wanted so much to come and study the Bible. So God was really at work in her life, and about two-thirds into it, we were studying in Isaiah 53, and I had her read all the verses from the Bible every time. She loved doing that. I gave her some little, you can see them there on her Bible, the little colored tabs. She would mark everything she liked. She'd put a tab. She had tabs all over that Bible. She started reading out loud Isaiah 53. I looked at her. Tears were running down her face, and she said, "That's talking about Jesus and what he did for me." I mean, it was like a light went on in her head and heart. And she has accepted Christ as her Savior. I'm very concerned for her. Her family is Mormon, and her father's very involved in Eastern mysticism. Parents are divorced, and so I really want to get back there. She's very excited about doing another Bible study. I really want to see her grounded in God's Word and get in a good church and see her boyfriend get saved. He's a great guy. He loves us. They love to be with us. So pray for Macarena and Nelson. And this last slide, this was one of the joys of my heart. This is Ian and Alec Garcia. Their parents are our coworkers, Pedro and Stephanie Garcia. They were adopted from Haiti. You remember the earthquake in Haiti, right? These little boys were waiting to be adopted. They had been waiting 2 years to get them. They didn't know how they were going to get them out of the country. When the earthquake happened, all the paperwork was lost. But these little boys were miraculously airlifted out of that country within 2 days, brought to Miami, Florida. Pedro and Stephanie left Iquique, Chile, to get them and brought them home. They are beautiful children, and they have 6 children. They homeschool them. So I said, you know what? I can give you a break on Mondays, and I'll homeschool those 2 boys. And so I had so much fun because I miss my grandchildren. We have 3 grandchildren, and I miss them terribly, and so that really helped me a lot. And John would even fill in every once in a while. I was sick one time, and he helped do it. And so we loved them, and so that was a fun part for me to be able to minister to another missionary family in that way.
Yes, I get him too excited.
Yeah, he riles them up too much. I have to send him to his office.
But we do have a couple prayer requests. Again, we're teammates, right? As we pray for you, and I know you pray for us, we just have a few prayer requests. I'm sure we could give you more. But, you know, we told you about the owner of the building. His name's Ajay, the Buddhist. We pray for him and his wife and his son. I told Pastor the other night, I said, "You're going to give us this building." I really believe that. I mean, it's just one of those things missionaries do. It's a great thing for a prayer that I've asked and God received. And he answered my prayer. I've been praying that God would allow us to buy that building or be able to be given that building. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what his cost would be on it. But pray for Ajay. More than anything else, pray for his salvation. Mm-hmm. I've called him. He calls me. We're developing a friendship. But, you know, he needs the Lord, and he knows why we're there. He called me Father John for a long time. I had to finally tell him, that's not really my title, but that's all right. But pray for our future church plan. As we mentioned, we are church planting missionaries. Part of my goal is to be an administrator of the center, to give counseling at the center, but our job and joy is to start new churches. Churches is you. It's not a building. It's people. Growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to see more churches built and started. You know, can I tell you a story real quickly? We had 5 minutes at one church, and we were going through these 4 prayer requests. And I said, you know, we've been praying for an ultrasound machine because if mom can see the baby, can hear the heartbeat, there's a high percentage that she will not give her child up. So we said, wow, Lord, this is a great tool. In Chile, it's like $20,000 to $30,000 for a good ultrasound machine. So, you know, it's just one of those things that, oh, Lord, that's a lot of money, but let's put it in our prayer request. But we've been praying about it. And after we said this to one of these churches, a couple comes running up to us. And he's a realtor. And he says, we want to give you $10,000. And yes, your mouth opened up like mine. I'm like, wow, God is moving. And we were at another supporting church, and we had 6 minutes at that church. So we were just going through things, and they come up to us afterwards and says, you know, the Easter offering, we're going to give you part of that. Church at around 800 people. They gave us $16,000. You think God wants us to have an ultrasound machine? I think he does. Do you think he wants to give us that building? I think he does. But one step at a time, John, because things are going very, very quickly now.
Mention the prayer request for the doctor, too.
It's the next one.
Okay.
Nope, it's not the next one. We've been praying for a doctor because in Chile it's still it's kind of fuzzy who can give ultrasounds. And it ends up being, okay, the doctor or a nurse. Well, you know, yesterday our colleagues were talking to a doctor. And it's really interesting how this came about. Because a couple years ago, this family met this other family. And they got together and said, we hadn't seen one another for a while. And we have a friend who's a doctor who does ultrasounds free to the different centers like yours. So yesterday, they talked to this doctor. And this doctor says, yes, I'll come and do ultrasounds. God is working. So we're excited. Now, there's a lot to do. We need to buy a bed. I mean, I'm always thinking.
We need to restructure
I'm thinking
this
through
center.
Everything. You know, there's a lot
Change
to
up
do.
Some rooms.
So pray for us because I don't know if I need to bring it back or buy it there. There's a lot of neat things, but God's on the move, like Pam says. And, you know, it's getting kind of like a roller coaster. And, you know, God, we just put this out. Missionaries, we're faith mission. I know you understand that. We're still lacking $125 a month support, so pray for us. But pray that, you know, this is just our story. God is doing a great work, and we're so excited to be a part of that work. We started off in Awana. We never thought we would learn a different language. We never thought we would leave our grandchildren. We never thought we'd go to a different country. But, you know, I have no sermon for you today, but can I tell you something? God's doing a work in your life. He's changing you the image of his son, Jesus Christ. He has equipped you for service where you're at now. You might say, but I'm here. There's nothing going on. You're here because God is sovereign, and maybe your neighbor needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe just your reflection of God's grace will impact someone who is struggling. You have been given many experiences and opportunities if you're like myself, a young pup like me, and you could use those experiences to train and mentor other people. You have so much to give. We are all missionaries, aren't we? Where God has placed us. Maybe God is calling you to be a missionary here in Paw Paw or Lawrence or wherever, or maybe you need to come to Chile. You know, for example, men, are there any handy men here? Yeah, I'm sure there are. You know, our school in Santiago is looking for a handyman for a year to come and just do handyman stuff. They have all the tools. Would you consider that? You know, this fall they're looking for a fifth grade teacher in English. Could you help? You know, there's always opportunities to serve. But start here and let God stretch you a little bit. Let God open up your eyes to see the lost and see his glory. And like Isaiah 6 says, oh Lord, here I am, send me. And you talked about clean hands and a pure heart, Psalms 24. Start there. Say, Lord, use me. Cleanse my... Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can be in his holy presence? Only those with clean hands and a pure heart. But let God use you where you're at for his purpose and for his alone. And you'll be up here someday just telling your story. If not here, you'll be in presence of God. And you'll say, thank you, Lord, for those chapters of my life. Some of those chapters are darkness, where it's difficult. But when you come out and God has refined you and changed you, you have so much excitement and you want to serve him. You have been redeemed. You've been cleansed. You've been seeing great and mighty things. God has a purpose and plan for each one of your lives. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that exciting? And like that ultrasound machine, God is stretching my faith to ask for great things. The building, the salvation of souls, and to be used one more year for God's glory. However long it takes, we are excited to be used. And this last slide, sometimes it's hard. Because here.
Well, we are leaving on June the 5th, Lord willing, and that's 6 weeks from tomorrow. And honestly, we are ready to go. Very excited. But there's always mixed emotions, and these are three of the reasons why. Our grandchildren. Allie is on the left, and she is 11. Jenna is in the middle. She's 7, and Riley is 12, soon to be 13. And so you can pray for us and pray for them. It's always hard to leave them. We plan to be gone for a year and a half, and that's a long time for Grandma and Grandpa to be gone. And so you can pray for them and for us. My parents, this is a prayer request. My mom is 80, will soon be 81. My dad is 83. They both have health issues, and so that's hard to leave as well. I'm looking at that. And so you can pray for that as well. And we're just, you can pray for our son Tyler. Our youngest son is 32. He is, we're not even sure he's a believer. He claims he made a decision as a child. He grew up in Chile, but doesn't want anything to really do with God. And so you can pray for him. His life is really not together at all. And that's a big concern for us, and it's hard to leave knowing that as well. But we know God has called us, and he is faithful, and we are very anxious to get back and see what God has in store for us this next few years.
Let me pray for you. Father, we praise you for this church. This church is a light in this area for so many years. You have blessed them with a faithful pastor who has been here. You have used him and his family in a mighty way. I pray that you continue to use the church, the people, Lord, where they're at, for your glory. May you expand their eyes to look even farther than where they're at, even around the world. But I pray, Father, again for healing for those, like all of us, Lord, we have sinned. And, Lord, we must come into your presence to be clean. And I pray, Father, for my friends here. I pray, Lord, that they would see that you're doing a great work in their lives, and they are essential to the process. Help them to see what they could do here at this local church for your glory. Call those, Lord, that you want to go to the mission field farther away. Call them, Lord. Give them a peace and a burden to reach out and be stretched by you. Use them for your glory. Thank you again for this church. Thank you again for the pastor. Thank you again, Father, for allowing them to partner with us. They are a blessing. They are our partners, and we love them, Lord. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.